What do you want to say, it's boy?
Your gigs. It's your little smile that you got going on over there.
It's because I press click, stare.
Click. That's how you start me off. That's how you start me off. Welcome. Zer,
episode
37.
37.
I want to start this off by giving you an update on last week's episode.
Who are you?
My name is Scott Flannery.
Oh, hi. I'm Sam Valentine. Nice to meet you.
Hello. If you're just joining us, you're late to the party.
You have plenty of hours of awesomeness to catch up on.
Lots of them.
We recommend just starting at 3, though.
Why? I think they're all great.
1 and 2 were kind of rough cuts.
I mean, you get to see the evolution.
It's true. Okay, what's your updates?
So, remember when I was live rejected?
Yes.
Oh, I got a response, but after filming, quote unquote filming, recording,
for
whatever
recording,
you call it.
Yeah. What did he say?
So just to reiterate, I was trying to ask this guy who there's sexual tension. We may have hooked up before. I was like, do you want to make out? And then he replies that he's taking a break from boys.
But it's not like you were like, hey, do you want to go to Tuscany together? I know. Like, such a cut and dry.
Right. Like, this is exactly what I'm looking for in black and white.
That it's everyone's dream to have everything laid out on the table. That's so nice.
And if you remember, I did a live response that says that was the nicest rejection I think you could have sent. I'm recording my podcast now, and then who knows, because he asked what I was doing later.
Okay.
He responded, I didn't mean to vanish. I was day drunk at a pool party. And he goes, I'm very nice. Winky emoji. I just need to slow things down across the board.
You can't say I'm done with boys and send a winky emoji to a boy.
I'm confused.
I'm confused too. I don't think he's worth your small amount of time you have left in town.
No. I mean, he did ask how the podcast was going as well. And I said we were on our way to winning a Peabody.
Yes.
That's how you leave the conversation. I have not responded since then.
Bye.
Bye. So when I win a Peabody, in addition to winning the Amazing Race, then you'll be sorry.
I would love to win that. Do I get $1 million?
Yes. We get to split it, though, and then it's halved again for taxes.
Okay.
But it's still good money.
Yeah, I walk dogs, so.
But I just felt like we left everyone hanging last episode because I was listening back, and I go, what happens?
What a lame ass.
But then I started thinking about all the wonderful stories we've had throughout the 37 episodes and how we don't always catch up. I will let you know another update is that my crush from high school, Dusty Carmichael, if you remember.
From way back in the single digit episodes.
That's right. I sent him that podcast. And not only did he and his wife, who was in my class in high school, listen and laugh a lot, they really enjoyed it and they were wishing me well in life.
That's so sweet.
Isn't that cute?
You just got to put it out in the universe, and you just can seal off those paths really nicely.
There it is.
Oh, I love that.
So I wanted to give just a couple of updates.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's get down to the meat of today's episode.
Okay.
You were watching Younger when I walked in.
Let's preface this with, this is our first ever morning recording session. It is technically 9 a.m. on a weekday, you guys. We usually record in the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I mean, not bright and early. It's a little after 9.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's not like, it's not like it's 7. But my morning times is like my chill times.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a cup of coffee. I have a glass of kombucha. I have a lot of liquids going on. And I like a background show to do things with. I like a show, usually it's reality TV, like a housewife, because then I can put it on and I can jump around the house and do random things. And I can go back to it when I wish and I know what's going on, but it's like background noise. It's like how people use music, I use TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to keep an eye on all the shows that are on because it's my job as an actor to watch a lot of TV.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm working my way through Younger because it's a show I would audition for.
I'm infuriated with you at the moment. How dare you call Younger a background show? Younger is you sit down and you watch show.
I've watched quite a few over like my lunch breaks.
Oh, it's so good.
I thought you were going to make fun of me for it. But you like it?
One of my favorite shows.
No, really?
Yes. Yes. I watch it religiously, like the day after it comes out, because I don't watch it at night.
Younger is, what station is this on?
It's on TV Land.
It's TV Land. So that's why you haven't heard of it, by the way, if you're listening to this.
No, I think a lot of people have. It was like this rando TV Land, like.
The poster looks all like cool badass, but like it's really kind of lovely.
It's like Sex and the City meets the CW.
Yes. They they do things that I'm like, this is inappropriate for your audience, but I get it. Like she tried to sell her underwear to that guy on Craigslist.
Oh, you're behind.
Yeah, no, I'm background show, like I said.
Oh.
But that's one of the examples I can think of where it's like shocking that they put that on TV. But
oh, do you know what they did this week?
Oh, no.
No, you didn't. So I'm going to tell you. This week, you know, the roommate is a lesbian, and she has a female over on a date. And on their first date, not only are they in the tub, but the date asks her to shave her. And the reason it's funny is because the woman has a growing mustache, and that's like the plot point. Like, should I date this person who has a mustache?
Oh.
And so, the main character goes in to, like, shave the mustache, and the woman goes, no, I meant my pussy. And I was like, what? You said that on TV Land?
You can say pussy on TV Land?
And this podcast,
I'm nervous apparently. That I can say it on the podcast.
I know.
I hate that word.
And also, they said GD as well.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You can slide in. There's like rules now.
I think it's 10 p.m. That's why. Because isn't it after 10 p.m. you can say
There's certain like rules and restrictions now that are a lot looser than they used to be. Like, you're allowed, like, one F-bomb in different areas of, like, network. I don't know. It's like
really?
Weird, yeah. Like, oh, PG-13 movies now can have, like, one F-bomb in them.
Oh, because I remember one used to mean automatic R, even if it was, like, Teletubbies.
Yeah, now you can have one, so you have to use it wisely. If you're PG-13.
That's so funny to me, because you've said it, now open the floodgates.
I know.
And
it's such a good word, like, fuck.
Hey, now you have to put the E on this episode. Unless we post it after 10 p.m.
Is it early for an F-bomb? I put the explicit button on all of our podcasts because I can't remember if I said fuck or not, but I'm assuming that I probably did. Sorry, Mom.
Well, there you go. That happened. And yes, all of that happened in the past episode.
But I really, I enjoy the show. It's Hillary Duff's. It's known as like Hillary Duff's show.
And Sutton Foster.
And it's Sutton Foster.
For those
and
who know Broadway.
She is 40 in her 40s, and she's trying to go back into the workplace after a divorce. And to do so, she lies about her age and says she's in her 20s because she has a very young-looking face. And it works, and she gets a job at a publishing house. And craziness ensues.
Ooh, who's going to find out? Can she keep the secret? And she's also dating a 20-something.
What season are they on now?
4. What are you on?
1.
Oh, God bless you. But also, lucky you. You haven't seen it. It gets better.
Really?
Yeah. I thought season 1 was smashing. Oh, it gets good. It's to where I watch it, and it always ends like to where I just need it more. It's like a drug. I need younger in my life.
This is the best review they've probably gotten on
False.
A podcast.
Oh, on a podcast, maybe. No, they get really, really strong reviews. It's actually one of the only shows on TV Land that gets auto-renewed. Like, it's already renewed for season 5.
Interesting.
It's just, and it's only 12 episodes.
I don't think it would have flown if it hit a network, like an ABC, NBC. It probably would have fizzled out.
Maybe.
But since they found their little niche in TV Land, it's like how Unreal is the best show ever, and it's on Lifetime.
Exactly. But I will say that they are... If you are a person looking to improve your social media strategy, watch Younger. Because as the seasons go along, and I don't know since you're watching it on quote-unquote tape delay if they do this, but when you watch it live, they always have commercials with the cast that go tweet, share, like, and follow, which is how I said that on this podcast so many times.
Yeah.
With ease. It's from Younger. And they have, like, Hillary Duff showing you the hashtag. And now in this season, they have after shows where they want you to get on Facebook Live and talk to the cast.
Oh, that's how you do it. That's why they're...
They've targeted their audience to tween girls and gay men. And they are like, we know you're on Facebook.
Because you should... I was surprised that more things... Who was I talking to someone about this recently? Oh, the past Super Bowl. there wasn't a lot of call to social media about a lot of their commercials. Like now everything has a hashtag. Mm-hmm. And as dumb as shit as I sound saying it out loud, being like, what's the hashtag for this? Like people at your party, with your Scott going away party, we'll get there. people were like, what's the hashtag? And I was like, oh shit, I forgot to assign a hashtag to his party.
Oh God, I didn't even think of that.
Yes, everyone asked. And I was like, well, Scott doesn't really use social media, so I forgot. before your big time stardom,
right?
You didn't really swim in the social media pool too much per se. You mm-hmm. dipped your toes, and so I didn't even think about it. But now it's like the call to social media has to be there on everything mm-hmm. because that's the new TV.
Mm-hmm. People go to the social media for their headlines, for opinions. Oh, I do. And, yeah,
I definitely do. I forget about. When I go to my parents, they watch the local news,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, "Oh, this
that still exists."
Yeah,
yeah. My sister-in-law is still in that, as we all know, because I got interviewed by her.
I love local news.
Oh my goodness!
I think it's so classic, and they always look like they're having so much fun. It's like the hometown famous, you know?
Yeah, it still is.
It's like their own version of that world.
I try to get into local news and I just can't. You know,
In LA. Local news in LA is like updates with Dancing with the Stars.
It totally is. And that's funny to me.
If you guys, for our audience who doesn't live in LA, the local news here, you know how it's like hometown man saves dog from park ranger, you know, some shit like that. It's like,
the park ranger.
I don't know. I just thought it's 9 a.m. How it's always like a great wholesome story, and it's like they try to make it as like local and real as possible. In LA, it's like interviews with celebrities who are in between gigs. And
it's true.
Like true. The latest person who got kicked off Dancing with the Stars. It's dark. It's so bad.
Tonight, the traffic that ensues from the Oscars pre-party.
That's it. That was a story.
Yep.
Multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Live from the red carpet, we're like, but that's not sexy out here. Like, that'd be cute if you were from Houston.
Yes, because that's why people tune in to E! News like 6 hours before the Oscars start. So the local news here sucks, but I think in other towns it's cute.
Yeah, I can go along with that. I mean, I can't wait to check out local news in Seattle. But I will say I love, back in the day when I was in college, I used to watch Morning Express with Robin Mead on CNN Headline News, or now they just call it HLN.
Was that one of the ones with all the banners and stuff going across?
Yeah.
And I can't watch those shows.
Well, because there's like CNN Headline News, and then I think there's one more. Headline News was like every 3 or 4 hours they had a different anchor, but it was always the same news stories in 20-minute brackets. So you would just watch it for 20 minutes and you would see everything.
Oh, yeah.
And Robin Mead I loved because not only is she gorgeous, but she's very talented in keeping live TV interesting. She actually picks her own music to play going into and out of commercial, which is fun because it kind of wakes you up. And she always starts with, morning sunshine, grab your coffee, and here we go.
Have we talked about this before?
Have we?
I think so.
Maybe off the podcast. I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast.
Really? I feel like we talked about our morning news shows.
Really? Okay, well, if we did, we're talking about her again.
Refresher.
She's worth it.
If you missed it.
She lives in Hotlanta. So actually, the next time I go, I need to like stalk her. And by that, I mean go say hi.
I need to go to Atlanta. They film everything there now.
Yeah, it's a new locale.
It's like the new New Orleans.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm going to New Orleans next summer for work, funny enough.
Beautiful segue. What? I love New Orleans. Do you know how much I love that city?
Tell me.
It is the best. It is the, I mean, prepare your stomach because there's not a vegetable in sight.
Oh, true.
It's like going to, you know, when you travel to older countries and mm-hmm. they're just not really into vegetables.
Uh-huh. Yeah. See last week's podcast when I talk about Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm about to go on my trip and it is going to be all potatoes and meat and bread.
And fried.
All they eat.
Food. Yes.
And desserts.
So wait, what do you love about New Orleans? You said the food.
I love the people. They're all so excited and so proud of their heritage, which is hard to find, I feel like, in cities in the U.S. Because mm-hmm. everything's so new here mm-hmm. as opposed to other places, other countries. And the people there are just so proud and so, like, people in New Orleans love New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And they're so excited to share it with you. And they want you to try their food. And they want this and they want that. And it's such a cool culture. There's always stuff going on, and their music is incredible. And even their touristy areas like Bourbon Street and stuff mm-hmm. is still really fun. Granted, it's pretty dirty.
Yeah.
It's like every other store is like a strip club, but.
So it's like Amsterdam.
Yes. Actually, it does have an Amsterdam vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's. Oh, it's just amazing. But I said I could never live there because I would be fat and an alcoholic.
Well, there's that.
They drink a lot.
Did you know I lived there?
No.
You didn't know that?
No. How am I 37 episodes in, I'm still learning new shit about you? I thought we'd have exhausted this long ago.
Nope. We're like a married couple. You're just figuring things out as we go.
In like a good marriage.
Yeah, I lived there for a very short period of time. It was the first city I lived in after college graduation.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. I graduated from college in May 2005.
Okay.
And I don't know if that time frame rings a bell for you, but that means I left New Orleans around August 2005 because of Hurricane Katrina. So yeah, I was only there, well, I guess June, July, 3 months, 4 months.
You know, I'm starting to remember a list I made when we started the podcast of things I wanted to talk about with you at some point. And this was on it. Hurricane Katrina.
You're welcome for bringing it back round.
Here we are.
Oh, gosh.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah, we can. It's been so long now, which I understand Ryan Murphy's next American crime story is about Katrina.
Oh, I heard that as well.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see what he does. It's probably about FEMA. Interestingly enough, I just got a check last week from another lawsuit that was filed against FEMA.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So, I'll tell you the story, but it's interesting because I still get, like, involved in certain things. What is it? 12 years later?
Where did you live?
I lived on Orleans Avenue, interestingly, which okay. is...
What part of town is that?
It's in Mid-City, I believe is what it's called.
Okay.
And it is... I feel like we talked about this because I don't know. Okay, we'll just keep going with it. Which is about 15 minutes from the French Quarter. But within, like, New Orleans proper. And it was really cute because it was on a little bayou, a little lake. And I was living in an old cannery. It was called the American Can Apartments. I know. There was a cannery they made into loft-style apartments. So imagine my very first apartment ever, because I lived in the dorms all 4 years, which you remember, was a loft. And I lived on the loading dock. So I got the really cool... like sliding door is one of my walls.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah. So I lived in American Can Apartments. You can actually Google them. They're still there.
They survived Hurricane Katrina.
They barely. It's hard to paint the picture, but we were essentially in the middle of New Orleans. And when Katrina was on its way at that point, that was our fifth or so hurricane. During that hurricane season. And everyone there is so used to hurricanes that they're like, they're going to die down by the time they get to
us. It's similar to earthquakes here.
Yeah.
There's one coming soon. I just don't really care.
They
happen all the time.
They just happen.
Yeah.
And you just deal with it. You weather the storm, literally. And so I actually had that mindset too, even though I was new to the city. I'm like, oh yeah, we've already been through 4-ish hurricanes. And they always downgrade to like a 1, 2, or 3. And 3 is still livable. You just, you know, hunker down. And so when Katrina was coming, there was the scare that it was going to be a 5. Mm-hmm. When it made landfall, I believe it was a 5 or it was just at the top end of 4. Regardless, it was, as we now know, what they said it was going to be. And it was a little scary because the day before landfall, my parents, who lived in North Carolina still, said, you need to leave. We're going to pay for your hotel or whatever, but we don't feel comfortable you staying there. Because I was, 22 at the time? I guess they were
fresh out of college.
Yeah. So I had a traveling job at the time. My next assignment was in Mobile, Alabama. So I was like, great, I'll just go ahead and head to Mobile and just stay in the hotel where I normally stay when I travel. It didn't get scary until that point because I packed one suitcase and... left town, but it got scary because there were like military individuals all around town, like pointing you in the exit of the city.
Oh,
like
wow.
They turned both sides of the freeway to leave the city. And at one point, I drove through a military base because it was the quickest way out. And it was very strange.
The National Guard?
I think so.
That comes in during rescue relief type things?
Okay. Yeah. They everything was headed out. It was I was actually driving on the wrong side of the freeway, but it was right that day. It just felt weird.
Wow.
And so they were trying to get everyone out to Alabama and Mississippi, and I think... No, they were not going to Florida because that's where the storm was, too. So we were leaving, and I get to Mobile, Alabama, which took like 6 hours because everyone was going that direction. And I had a friend there at the time. And so I actually stayed with her, and the storm made landfall the next day. And as good friends do when there's a hurricane and, you know, you might have been stuck in it, they get you drunk. So I drank
about right.
So many Coors Light that not only did I think that the storm was a beautiful phenomenon. Look at all this beautiful thunderstorm weather.
Were you high, too?
I was not. I decided to do a weather report.
Oh, my God.
Outside. So somewhere out there, I think my friend has me doing, I called myself Chicken Cacciatore because there's Jim Cantore is a weatherman on the Weather Channel, and I had a crush on him at the time. So I was Chicken Cacciatore and doing some weather
We should reports. Find that. That's gold.
I was like, I think it's getting a little wet out here, and it's like plummeting me with hurricane rain.
You did this in Mobile?
Mm-hmm. Which is where Katrina also sort of came through, so...
Yeah, you can't escape it, really.
Nope. So she also got me drunk because I did not find out till later. My building was on the national news, as in people were on the roof of American Can Apartments waving at the helicopters after the storm.
Oh.
So if I had stayed, I would have been one of those people in a building that is surrounded by floodwater. So I'm very, very lucky my parents threatened me. Told me to leave. Now, keep in mind, my
Thanks,
apartment
Karen.
Was in the loading zone of an old factory. So you would think, oh, it's about 7 feet up in the air, even though it's on the first floor.
Yeah, but that whole city is so low.
Exactly. But I was like, oh, maybe it only flooded like 6 feet. And so my apartment's fine.
How long did you wait to go back?
I had to wait over a month before I was allowed to go back. They were releasing people in zip codes.
Okay. Did you continue to work while you were gone?
Yeah, because interestingly, so I worked for Gap Inc. at the time. I was opening Old Navy stores around the Gulf Coast. That was my job.
Wait, and I didn't know any.
You didn't know that?
You opened Old Navy stores?
Yeah, like I did floor planning. I hired people. I like dressed the mannequins. I worked on inventory. Yeah, I opened Old Navy stores. I opened three in my time with the company.
I don't know why I'm surprised.
So I was in Mobile because there was one in, I think it was called Indian Wells. I might be wrong with the city, but there was one near Mobile.
I secretly love Old Navy. Go on.
Oh, I used to not, and now I'm like, oh, I kind of respect that you're $4.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's garbage, but I love it.
Okay. So they had me assigned out there, so there's no reason for me to go home other than I did not have access to my home. So I was living out of a suitcase. Gap gave me a clothing allowance because I was not able to go home.
Was it $12 to get a whole outfit at Old Navy?
Oh, my. What was funny is I think they gave me maybe $500, which was very, very nice.
Yeah.
But, of course, at the time, I was a snot and was like, I'm going to Banana Republic.
Oh, Scott.
I know. Judge me, everybody. It's fine. I was 22.
You're better than that now.
And so I went to Banana Republic and only got like four things. Or five things.
Which is funny because last episode you talked about how you went to the cheapest places in London and bought like 100 things for like $50.
I know. Well, I am a different person. I was trying to project an image. You know, when you graduate from college, you're trying to be this adult. And I was like, I dress up to work. When in reality, at Old Navy, I could wear flip-flops and shorts, and that's my attire at that job. I decided not to buy Old Navy clothes. Anyway, it's fine. That's what happened. So I still didn't have a lot of
clothes. Neither here nor there.
Neither here nor there. Now, my friend who got me drunk was also a manager at Old Navy. And her boyfriend at the time worked as a paramedic in Alabama. Paramedics are allowed in to all zip codes of New Orleans at any time. So I worked the system. And the three of us actually went back to New Orleans before my zip code was open.
Oh, you snuck in?
We snuck in, which sounds... kind of horrible, but kind of like everyone else did. So whatever.
Well, you just wanted to go back home and check on your stuff.
Exactly. Or at least move out the things that survived the flood. Or if everything did, then just know that and then like make a mental note that everything is okay.
On the plus side, that is the age at which you have the least amount of your own personal things that matter.
Right. No, you're very true.
When you're at home, you have your stuff. And then when you move out of college, though, you have new-ish things and a handful of maybe good things.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else is cheap crap, usually.
I mean, it was my first apartment, so I had all new cookware, and there was some new furniture, and but like hand-me-down rugs. And
see, but you probably got it from like a cheaper source.
I mean, yes, probably.
That's what I'm. That's what I'm about. It's not like we have a kitchen full of cast iron and this that and quality. Quality over quantity is not quite the adage when you get out of college.
You're correct.
Trying to put a positive spin on.
No, I love it. You're doing great. So we went back. We got to my apartment complex, and the weirdest thing was there was a downed helicopter in my parking lot to the apartment complex.
Oh God, that's so scary.
That was what really kind of threw me. Like, I was kind of fine. We didn't see any bodies, thank goodness, but we did see a lot of like cars that flooded out, trash in the roads. It was very difficult to drive through. But seeing that helicopter was like, what? Like, how does a helicopter crash?
Did it look as though it had crashed?
Oh, yeah.
This is heavy.
Yeah. So we were like, okay, we're here, so we're going to go in. Went to my apartment, and obviously the water is gone at this point, but it had flooded up to halfway up my walls. So if I was 7 feet off the ground, and what your wall is probably, let's just say 10 feet, so additional 5 feet. So it flooded about 13 feet in my zip code, at least where I was.
Wow.
So if I'd stayed, obviously not the right decision.
Yeah.
Which meant I had what you heard on the news, which was a lot of fungus and spores and mildew.
Yeah, all the mold
comes
in when there's wet.
So I had technically lost everything, even though it's all physically there. Like the bed was warped because it was wood. You know, the carpet is rotten.
Yeah.
So everything that was 5 feet or below is gone.
Yeah, that mold grows so fast, too.
And
it was warm.
Yes, because it's hot, because it's summertime. So it smelled in there. We had to hold our breath and run in.
Did you see any crocodiles?
Not in my apartment, so we're good. The goal was to get all my clothing because we thought dry cleaning it might help. And then therefore I at least have clothing, so I don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I was staying in hotels with the company or with my friend, you know, obviously furniture and homewares was not needed.
Not a priority.
Not a priority. So we grabbed all my clothes, and a lot of it did have fungus already growing on it.
God, that's crazy.
And we were like, oh, let's just try to salvage it. And we went to, that's all we saved. That I literally left my apartment, and that was the last time I saw it.
Is there anything that was in there that you can think of now that you lost that you care about?
Well, I say no kind of easily because I've had so much closure with this.
Mm-hmm.
That at the time it was so, like, so shocking to think that I thought my life was over. I was like at 22. It was my first apartment. All this furniture and I've saved up for all of this. I'm out on my own for the first time, and I've lost everything. And I don't even know how to proceed. I don't even know how to live, which is not very dramatic because, as everyone knows, it was a very monumental occurrence in American history.
That was the vibe that was going on there.
Yeah,
it was an end. It was scary.
And I mean, many more people lost more, including loved ones, than me. So I also didn't want to harp on my goods because it's not as important as a loved one or, you know, a lifetime of memories like some people lost.
But in terms of you as a person, you had a mental idea of what your life was going to look like. Mm-hmm. And so shortly after you had developed that idea, it flipped the script.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally validate your feelings of being totally overwhelmed by that.
It was almost this, like, you only live once. I know that's a YOLO right now. But back in the day, that was not quite such a saying. But it was a moment where I went, I literally have nothing to my name and almost no money in the bank account and moldy clothes. Which, by the way, the dry cleaner was able to clean them all. So I got Fantastic. To keep all my clothing, which is nice. But I just thought, you know, what am I doing with life? What are my life goals? What are the relationships I want to have? And it was, I think the situation was good for that reason, because it created this shift in my mindset that I should go after what I really want in life and I shouldn't hold back. And I know that's easy to say now, but I really do believe at 22, I learned that lesson. So it's kind of set the stage for me saying, you know, when I apply to grad schools, I'm only applying to Ivy Leagues. Boom. When I want to be on reality TV, I will try for 8 years. Boom. You know, that's just the way I think now. Like, this is my goal. It's going to happen. I'm going to go do this. I don't know the timing of it, but it's going to happen. So let's talk about not according to plan. and that's actually how I got to work on cruise ships, because my first thing I wanted to do was travel the world. Yeah. And I had a job offer from Royal Caribbean in May that I turned down to go with Gap Inc. And I called them back and I was like, is that still available? Because I'm doing this. And they were like, yep. So, and it makes sense because I worked on a cruise ship and all I needed was clothes. So it's kind of perfect.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
This tells me so much about you as a person that I knew, but I didn't know why.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It makes sense.
Well, there you go.
I totally get it.
I actually went back to New Orleans for my first time four-ish years ago for work. And I drove past the American Can Apartments. They're still there. Looking the exact same that I remembered them. I went to my old coffee shop that I used to go to.
I love that you just asked me about New Orleans and I talked about it as though I'm the authority on New Orleans. And now I look like a dick.
No, you don't. I was interested. I thought you remember that I had lived there. I mean, it's only 3 months. I don't have that many memories from there. But I do know, like...
It's a little more major.
I kind of know where to go.
I visited for, like, Mardi Gras. I'm like...
I've done Mardi Gras, too. I did that in college. Mardi Gras. It's crazy. But no, so when I go back... So when I went 3 to 4 months ago, that was nice closure. Because I went to my favorite, like I said, coffee shop, restaurant, where I used to live. And... Bourbon Street, just because. And it was kind of like, okay, it's all still here. At least these kind of touristy areas are revamped. They're back on track. And I don't have emotional ties to this place like I thought I did. So that was the closure I got.
Yeah. Want to do that when you go back this time?
No, when I go back this time, I'm just going to go to my old haunts, but for fun, not like that I need to see
therapy.
Yeah, for therapy. Exactly. I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of fun things in New Orleans. And you're right. Everyone is... It almost seems like you're not in the United States because there is a very steeped cultural history there. They do want to share it with you, whether it's food or just culture or experiences. And it is a fun place to be. I understand they're still not rebuilt all the way, and that it saddens me.
Yeah, I don't think there's a ton of money utilized. And there's a lot that happened with the FEMA thing that I don't know.
Oh, God. FEMA was a disaster, literally. I mean, I think I only got $1,000 in payment.
Really?
Something like that. It was something extremely low. I mean, I can't really speak to the FEMA stipulations or payouts right now because it's been so long. But what I do remember is that not only do we have to supply a lot of documentation, which makes sense, I don't think it was all... financially equipped to deal with how many people were affected.
Wasn't that the lesson they learned in that process, that FEMA is incredibly understaffed and undersupplied?
I think so, yeah. I mean, they did offer a lot of so I was, again, lucky in that I had housing, but they did offer housing units, or you've heard about not the bowl, but...
Superdome.
The Superdome. You know, people went to Houston, didn't come back. I mean, so they were able to help a little bit with all of that, but oh my goodness.
Well, let's see what Ryan Murphy does with it.
Let's see what he does with it. And actually, so the lawsuit I just got paid out from, not that I was part of the lawsuit, but anyone affected by Katrina was part of the lawsuit. I just made $140.
Oh, wow.
But it's because of the levees that broke.
Interesting.
So 12 years later.
I wonder how many people they had to pay $140 to.
Oh, and I was probably the low end. I was single renting. Yeah. I didn't lose as much as some other people. But yeah, it was crazy. And FEMA was not doing the best job. So yes, we shall see what Ryan Murphy does with that.
Keep that in mind when we watch the show.
Yes, I can tell you if it's true or not based on my experiences.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Oh, New Orleans. And what's interesting is when I moved there, so my dad and mom helped me move from Auburn, Alabama to New Orleans. And when we were driving, we stopped at a rest stop and my dad goes, "Son, I don't know why you want to live in New Orleans. It's underwater." And I go, "Dad, it has not had an issue in all of its history. I'm never going to have to worry about..."
You should not talk.
I should not speak. Exactly. And for those out there who are like, why didn't you have renter's insurance?
Who has renter's insurance when they're 22?
Exactly. Which, funny enough, now that I'm moving to Seattle, they require it. So I finally bought renter's insurance. I've never had it.
Does Seattle have natural disasters commonplace?
No, I think it's just one of those laws where you're supposed to protect your space because, in turn, it protects the communal space.
Yeah.
But flooding and acts of God are not covered in renter's insurance. And, in fact, when I bought this one for Seattle, it literally still says flooding and acts of God are not covered. So Katrina was both of those. So that's why a lot of people were not paid out by insurance.
Are all weather patterns acts of God?
Pretty much. So it's really fire, burglary. I'm done. You can buy insurance for earthquakes. That's one specifically they will cover.
Yeah, they try to sell it to us all the time.
Yeah, I'm like, there's no earthquakes in Seattle except for the big one that's going to come and break Seattle off into the ocean. So at that point, I have bigger problems.
That's what we always said. Because we live so close to the hills right here where our apartment is, that if the earthquake's bad enough, because the hills like absorb it. Mm-hmm. So if the earthquake's bad enough to truly, I mean, if the earthquake's bad enough to screw with us, we're really screwed. Yeah, I think we'll be okay.
I think you will too. Interestingly, out of 7 years, I've only felt one or two earthquakes.
I've only felt one too. One.
One
also.
As well.
Earthquakes are a funny thing. Yeah, I thought I would be so used to it by now. I've been in cars a lot of times. They've been reported, so you don't really feel them. They've been so small in the past 8 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
That they haven't been, I mean, it depends on the area, but in LA proper, there hasn't been any big, big shakies, but there was one 4 years ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asleep in my guest house that I used to live in. And I woke up in the middle of the night and you know how you get half-formed thoughts?
Oh yeah.
When you're asleep. And my half awake, half asleep thought was a tree fell into my bathroom of my guest house. Because there's a lot of old trees by that old house I lived at. Mm-hmm. So I thought a tree fell into the bathroom. So I sat upright. I had these necklaces on hooks against my wall. That was my jewelry holder.
Mm-hmm.
And they were shaking against the wall, like rattling back and forth. And I sat up and I was like, oh, a tree. Don't know why I thought that. And then it all got really quiet all of a sudden. And I realized it was an earthquake.
No way.
That was the only one I've noticed. Guess who slept through the whole thing?
Caleb.
My guard dog.
Oh. Same thing. She
wakes up to a raccoon on the roof, but a full earthquake, she was asleep under the covers.
Oh my goodness. And look at her now, passed out.
Asleep on top of the covers.
Perfect. Hey, Willow.
Nope.
Nothing. Dead.
Unaffected by the world around her.
I want that life.
I know.
I do.
It'd be so comfy.
I do want to come back as a dog that is loved by the owner. I don't need to be one of those like Pomeranian poodles.
You don't want a bow in your hair?
No, I don't want a bow. Although if I look cute, maybe. But like I just want to lay without a care in the world. Don't have to worry about diet or when to have a play date because it's all taken care of.
You know, some people do live that way.
That's true. I could make, you know what? That could be my goal.
That could be your next goal.
My next goal. Gosh. I would get tired of it, I think.
Nah. You find your way. Weather patterns. This took quite the turn.
I know. I wasn't expecting to talk about any of this. I had some ideas in mind, but
I was going to talk about the party I threw for you.
Do it.
We can touch on that.
Do it.
Let's take a lighter turn, folks. As I know, this is not exactly what you always come to Not According to Plan for.
They come for the gigs. The giggles.
We threw Scott a going away party this weekend.
Bye.
And it was so great.
Can we just pause this story? And I just need everyone who ever listens to the podcast to know that you are the best party hostess I have ever encountered in my entire life. You're planning my wedding.
At the Kempton.
At the Austin Kempton. That's right.
Yep. I'm in.
Oh, my God. It was so great. Thank you. Well, you and Lisette. I need to give Lisette props. She's the one who did our artwork for our Apple podcast cover.
And at the same time, she made cutouts of your face and put them on a stick as a fan. So everyone got to be Scott's fan. Scott fannery.
Oh, my God.
It was so fun. We had like 30 of those. We made a little step and repeat photo booth area with a backdrop of a city. And we put boy bye in orange across it with orange balloons. All the utensils and cups and plates and napkins were orange because that's Scott's favorite color. We had tons of food. We had a signature cocktail that was the Tears of the Men of L.A., a.k.a. Moscow Mules, because that's his favorite. And he got the only copper real Moscow Mule cup.
Yes.
What else did we have?
I don't know. Candy that was orange. Yeah. And dum-dums that were orange. I mean, everything was orange. It was beautiful.
I made cake.
You made cake with two of my sayings, which made me laugh so hard.
This is my favorite part.
Oh, my God.
I handmade. I mean, the cakes kind of came from boxes, but I decorated them myself.
There you go.
With fondant and real icing. I did the whole shebang.
Nice.
The chocolate one was orange, and it said, okay, calm down. As I was writing it, I was laughing. And then there was a funfetti cake.
Oh, yeah. So good. So good. So good.
That had white icing and sprinkles, rainbow sprinkles. And it said the Scott's other favorite saying from Los Angeles, call me. And I bought his phone number in birthday candles. You know when a three-year-old has a birthday, so they put a big candle 3 on top? Mm-hmm. Well, I bought
7. Ten.
10 of those. I bought 10 of those.
Oh, God.
And I lit up his phone number across the cake. I don't know if someone got a picture or
You're
not.
You're so funny. Oh, I made someone. I was like, someone take a photo. I don't know who that someone is.
Okay. I hope someone did.
Someone has it.
And then I made him blow out the candles
of
his phone number.
So funny. So funny. I mean, and what's funny is everyone was laughing because they're like, yep, those are, that's right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone had a great time.
I do have to say one of my favorite quotes was there was this guy at our gym named Matt. Matt is God's gift to the human creation. His body is beyond perfect. So he's actually a 12 on a scale of 10. Everybody, gay, straight, woman, man, black, white, thinks he's hot. Everyone.
I haven't seen him yet.
He was there.
I was so busy.
Okay. I thought I like won the lottery because he's shy also. So he's like a Labrador retriever. He doesn't know how cute he is. He just bounces around and everyone's like, I want to be his friend. And he's just like, he just is who he is. Like he's probably like an ex-football player. Why am I talking about him? Because he's amazing. Okay. So I'm telling you this because he shows up to my party, which I was like, oh, this is like great. I like scored the guy that everyone wants to meet and he's at my party. So I felt like a 3-year-old and I'm like, I win. But he goes to that step and repeat that you have, the shower curtain that's a city. And he goes, oh, I have the same shower curtain. I can't. I died. I went, give it to me, which because it has seen you naked. And then he proceeds to get in the pool and get all wet for me. So that was his gift, I guess.
That is a great gift for you. We thought about printing off a bunch of pictures of really hot men and posting them around the walls.
Oh, God.
In the rental space. But then we realized to make cleanup easier, we didn't want to tape the walls.
Yes, very smart.
It was a whole shebang. It went over so well.
It was really great. It was so nice to see, because I moved to Los Angeles knowing zero people. So to see that room filled with people from different aspects of my life, whatever it is, mostly from Brit CrossFit, but mm-hmm. definitely invited everyone outside of that. And a lot of them showed up. And I loved seeing people intermingle who had never met before.
Yep.
And just, wow, like I created relationships with all these people. And it gives me hope that I can do that again in
if
Seattle.
Someone drove across town on a Saturday afternoon to see you, they love you in LA.
That's true.
That's the LA, I love you.
If they even came.
If they even showed up.
From outside of a 1 mile radius.
Especially during the hours. And there's not good parking there.
No, oh, I know. That was the only downfall. Well, there was two negatives. The parking, and you had to personally go down and let everyone in.
I would spend a lot of time in the elevator.
How was that elevator? I thank you so
it's
much.
Nice. No, anything for you. Mm-hmm. You just have to come back for my next party in LA.
Oh, gosh.
I have not processed the fact that it's your going away yet, I think. Because we had the party.
Yes.
But we're podcasting this week. We're doing our final weekly podcast next week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are seeing something at the Hollywood Bowl together. Mm-hmm. And then you leave. So I have all these built-in times in which I'm seeing you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really pushing it down.
Yeah. I'm laughing because I'm nervous. Me too. Would you like to tell?
I'm not doing it today. I'm not.
To tell the story where I became overwhelmed at the party.
Oh, Scott cried at his party, and I was hoping he would at some point because it's. You should.
No, I know.
You should cry at your going away party. That means a lot. But you said goodbye to your really close friend and yoga teacher Nicole, and it was such a moment for the two of you. And I saw it happening, and then I saw you tear up, and she had to leave, and you needed a minute. So you went over to the balcony by the pool, and you were just having a moment. And I let you cry for a bit, and I was like, okay, now I go. And I walked over, and I put my hand on your back, and I just stood there.
You did. It was. I've never had that moment before.
I just wait for you to talk. That's what you do. You just make yourself present, and they'll tell you when they need you. That's how it goes with good friends. And then you turned and you said, I didn't know I'd cry, but I just don't think I'll ever see her again. And then,
sorry.
While we're leaning over the balcony, she comes walking out of the parking garage underneath us. And so to follow the line, I don't think I'll ever see her again. Oh, there she is. She walks across underneath us. She looks up. She's like, hi, hi. Bye.
Oh, God.
It's never goodbye. We're at the age to where if your friends are this close, it's never goodbye. It's just see you later.
Yeah. And it's true. Cut to last week's podcast where I saw two good friends from 10 years ago.
Yeah. And it was the
same. It is a long time, but you pick up where you left off.
And it makes that stuff more fun. I can't wait to have a reason to go to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to come see you in your place and you can come back here and... It's fun to have friends all over the world.
It is. And if we always stayed where we were, it would be static and life would not be as rich as it is. And we wouldn't open ourselves up to new possibilities or new circles of friends or the one, you know?
What if you would have stayed in New Orleans if Hurricane Katrina didn't happen? What would your life have been? Like, you just don't know.
I have no idea. Do you know how many wonderful things have happened since then?
It's crazy.
When I moved out to Los Angeles, I had just graduated from Harvard, and I was actually a finalist for Big Brother, so I did not do a job search, because I was like, I'm for sure going to get on Big Brother. Cut to not cast on Big Brother, so I'm on a last-minute job search, and a position was posted at USC, University of Southern California, and I thought, and other places around the nation, but this was the only big city college. Everything else was like Bothell, Washington, or somewhere like you've never heard of.
Right.
So I interview, and I was like, for sure, USC is the one I'm not going to get, but I might as well throw my hat in the ring. USC was the only interview I got, and it was the job I received. Got no other interviews. And so that's what actually got me out to LA, but I was super scared. I almost didn't take the offer because all I knew about Los Angeles before I moved out here was good weather, horrible traffic, and gangs.
Gangs?
Gangs. I called my one friend from grad school who was from Claremont, which is just outside of Los Angeles, and he goes, I mean, there are gangs, but you're not, if unless you live in Compton, you'll be fine.
I've never seen a gang.
No, but that was my perception of L.A.
You thought there was like gangs hanging out on the street corners.
Yeah, I thought if I wore blue, they would shoot me. Like, I didn't know.
It's like a civilized American town.
But I also thought
granted,
I wouldn't
there be- are bad parts of town, but as true with any city, probably you're fine.
But also, my pay, well, because this was years ago, was $40,000 at USC. Mm-hmm. So $40,000 minus taxes, let's just say $30,000. How do you live in Los Angeles on $30,000? Was the other question I had.
You get another job.
Yeah, see, I didn't know that because I'm coming from you do one job and you give it your all and that's it gives you your 401k and your medicals. And
well, that's such a cute storybook idea.
Isn't that cute?
Give one job, give it your all.
And that's how I ended up having three jobs back in the day. But anyway, so all those things were barriers to entry for me and I almost didn't take that job, which means I wouldn't have met you and had this wonderful experience and met all of these people or perhaps even been on the race or all these other things.
Yeah, who knows where it would have taken you.
My goodness.
Your niche would have been totally different.
Yeah.
Such an adventure.
And we're not done.
Not even close. Starting the next chapter, baby.
Yes.
But don't worry, guys. We have one more weekly podcast left.
Oh, my God. We're done?
Yeah. This is...
Why do the hours go by fast?
It's so great. Smooth conversations.
It's so great.
Honestly, when we started this, I was like, what happens when I run out of things to talk about?
Don't worry. We won't.
I don't think we will. And I'm really excited to have a built-in monthly podcast. And we're thinking, guys, if Scott and I get together and talk for 3 hours, we'll make it into three episodes.
We'll just
Why
cut
not?
It. You know?
Do what we want.
It's our podcast. Do what we want.
There's no plans.
It's not according to one.
There was a moment where we paused and looked at each other very intensely.
I love our title. It's so apropos.
I know.
I hope no one ever steals it. We should trademark it.
I love patting myself on the back while we're recording the podcast.
Oh, yeah. It was your title. Intern Sam came up with it. She has since been promoted to Sam.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I was
that
like,
went on way longer than I anticipated.
Because you're supposed to. I love that song.
Me too. It gets me very emotional.
Oh God, then let's stop. Let's not do it.
Okay, 10 a.m. Scott. Where can people find you?
They can find me all hours of the day at Scott Flannery, spelled like canary, everywhere. And this is being posted right before Hearts of Reality. So if you are a reality TV fan and you're going to Celebrity Florida or Celebration Florida.
There's a city called Celebration.
There is.
Only in Florida.
And it's right outside of Orlando. There's a whole reason it's called Celebration. But anyway, if you're going to the Hearts of Reality event, make sure you come up and say hi.
Yay. And tell them you like the podcast.
Yes. If you do, you get a special something something.
And that you probably like Sam more than you like Scott. Tell him he loves hearing that.
I do because it's a true fact. Everyone should.
Oh, and you can find me at Sam Valentine at One Broke Actress, onebrokeactress.com, and Not According to Plan Podcast on Facebook, Not According to Plan Podcast, gmail.com if you want to send us an email.
Yes. You're so good at that.
You're good at that.
Oh, like, share, honey. Follow, tweet.
Hashtag younger.
I think it's at Younger TV. Continue.
Oh, my God.
You're welcome. It's burned into my skull when you see it every commercial break for 4 seasons.
Oh, well, when you watch it on Hulu, you don't have commercial breaks.
I know.
Small victories. Okay. Bye.